stepped away and I simply called, longing just to bring something that's a word that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you.
To worship this morning together. I'm so glad to be here with you here and with everyone watching online. I want to pray that we can enter into worship as we know that we're worshiping a God that never fails, that we can hope in Him and we can trust in Him. No matter what we're experiencing, He desires for us to receive the full peace that only He can give. And Lord, we pray to honor You and to worship You with this time, and we pray to hear more of Your word and Your truth today. We thank You, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah, in the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah, louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah, my weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. The darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear your loss, your hold on me. Middle of
worship him this morning.
Nothing will deny. consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior.
Let's pray together. Lord God, you're great and you're awesome. You're a God who boundaries all of life and death and resurrection. And today we need to be reassured. Well, we need to reassure ourselves. that you are the God that is in control, that you have a plan for us that will never be thwarted in this world. Father, you know how crazy this week has been for everyone. It seems turmoil upon turmoil. More bad news on top of bad news. Yet, Lord, as we're able to look underneath all of that, we can see the gems of your truth and the fingerprints of your hands upon our life, upon our church, upon churches in the U.S. and in the world, upon our country and upon our world. We would ask that your love and your grace and your mercy would rain down upon us all. That you would allow us glimpses of eternity that would remind us and put into perspective each and every day that we're living right now. It is true, Father, we're discouraged, depressed, we're stressed. Some days we just want to pull the blanket over our head and just stay where we are. Yet you remind us over and over again that we should go, that we should get running, that we need to get back into the race of faith and life and run to the best of our ability, knowing that as we do that, you use us. You change us as well as use us to change, well, our sphere of influence, our world, as well as the whole world. For you came to share your love with the whole world so that the whole world would know we don't need to perish, but we can have everlasting life with you. Today we lift up our presidents. We lift up our Congress. We lift up, Lord, to you those that are still on the front lines battling a very heavy fight. Lord, we pray for those that are experiencing negative emotions at this time, that you would buoy their spirits. Lord, kids are frustrated with school. Small business owners are worried for their livelihood. Lord, as we take in the whole picture, we know that we need you. And we know that you can bring order to the chaos. That you can bring hope to the downtrodden. Lord, give us your presence. Give us your peace. Put your hand upon the lives of those that are sick and ill. Give hope to those that are headed to surgery. Give comfort and peace to those that have come out of surgery. We desire to lift you up, for as we know as we lift you up in worship, that you lift us up as well. Give us your Holy Spirit that we might worship you today both in truth and in spirit. And we pray all these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. So you can wave to each other as you're seated. That's a good thing. Make a little eye contact. It has been a full week, not only on the international scene, but obviously on the national scene here in our own town, our own community. Our goal is to be a beacon of hope to those in our community. God is in control, even if it seems that things are just out of control. His will is the best will for all of us. And so we want to give you some opportunities to create some more alignment in your life between God's will and His presence and peace and you as a person. We're starting up after the Christmas break. Rick's doing an awesome adult Sunday seminar that starts today, right after this service. He's doing the Truth Project. Great timing. You will love that undertaking, the opportunity to look at your faith, really in a worldwide, global sense, as well as a very individual sense. So please be a part of that. Tuesday morning, we start up in the book of Exodus again, 7:30 in Geneva. That's where we will be gathering. Wednesday night is ACTS, Active Care Training. In all that we're dealing with, I think we could all use a little help in how to care more actively for those around us. Care for ourselves, as well as care for those around us. So I hope you can be a part of that. Our Stephen Ministry leaders, Daryl and Madeline Jensen, will be leading that time. So it'll be worth your time to be a part of that. You might have read that we were a part of the vaccination strategy to be a location for vaccinations with further thinking. They're hubbing all the vaccinations out of Cary Blake Park. Some of them will be at the Methodist Church. Sometimes they will be at a tent in Cary Blake Park itself. Stay online and keep checking out the Jamestown website because that information is being updated along the way. Today we're in Hebrews. We're going to bridge chapter 11 into chapter 12. Chapter 11 is the hall of fame of those who have lived out their faith, yes, in times just like this. So I believe our word today out of the book of Hebrews is God's word to us, one that we all need to hear. Our elder of youth ministry, Nikki Compton James, is going to be reading our scripture for us.
Good morning, SEC family. Today's scripture reading is from Hebrews 11, 35 through 12, 4, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half and others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin.
Some of you know that I spend the first 2 weeks after Christmas working on my message outlines for the coming year. So today's message was really slated just about 10 months ago that I would be preaching on this chapter in Hebrews. God knows where we are, and he wants to speak to us in a very profound, personal way. He wants to proclaim to us the truth that he's a God that's in control and a God who loves us. I don't know about you, but this week, a couple of times, while I was watching the news, even after I turned off the news, it was like I wanted to throw in the towel. Okay, enough's enough. This year has been a crazy year, and now it just continues to be tumultuous, uncertain, unsettling to us. How do we lean into our disappointments? Lean into the difficulties, the difficult feelings and emotions that we have? Well, our passage this morning fits very well. At least it fits for how I'm feeling this morning as I've come into worship. And appreciate Liz and Kirk setting our stage, so to speak, this morning, bringing us into the presence of God, elevating him, a reminder to us that our God is transcendent. He is above and beyond everything, yet he was a finite God who came to this planet and lived and dwelled just like you and I do. Our passage speaks very specifically about, well, where we are right in this moment. Let's do a little review. But others were tortured, refused to turn from God in order to be set free. Now, if you're like me, I've read chapter 11, the front part of it, over and over and over again. But I noticed there aren't too many fingerprints of mine once we get down to this section of chapter 11. We want to avoid the reality that is present here. Yet it is a reality that we can't avoid. In fact, we're encouraged here to embrace it so that we might rise above it, so that Christ might help us rise above it. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection, could not reach perfection. Without us, without the good news message that we bring. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiated and perfects our faith. A few things that we learn here. Number one, difficulty and failure is not going to pass us by because we're a Christian. Oh, I think making good decisions and living biblically, that saves us a lot of pain. A lot of restarts. We avoid a lot of interference in our life when we're obedient to God. Yet, this passage is very true. There are things in this world that torture us, even though we claim the name of Jesus as the leader, the Savior of our life. Yes, we are living in an original sin, marred and impacted world. And yes, we're still living with other people like ourselves who are also impacted by original sin. We don't do everything correct, perfect, biblically. A second thing we learn here in the passage is that no, we won't receive all that God has promised in this world. When we get to eternity, God will fulfill every promise He's ever made to you. And to me, that's a call to hang on in this world. No, it isn't all roses. Many times we get preoccupied with the thorns in life. It's easy to give up hope, to be depressed and distressed. But know that God is still handing out His promises. He's bestowing them upon us, and yes, because of original sin, we will not experience them all in this world. But when we get to eternity, all that God has said is true, will be true for each one of us. And then finally, as we round to chapter 12 here in Hebrews, we understand that we're a part of a historical relay race. That those first Christians took the baton of faith and they ran their leg of the race to the best of their ability. And down through history, that baton has been handed to one generation to another. And now we hold the baton. And it's up to us, especially in this difficult part of the race of life. It's our job to run the race with endurance. Notice what he says. We need endurance because it's not going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be difficult, terrible, torturous. Yet as we hold on to our faith and declare our faith, it's amazing how that speaks to those around us who are looking for hope, who are looking for a better way, who are just like us. They're stressed and de-stressed. And they're looking for a little peace, some harmony and unity. Some hope that, well, someone bigger than us will intervene and bring order again. How do we lean into our disappointments? The writer of Hebrews, many believe it was Paul or someone close to him. It's God's word. And it's true. And what we have here is we have a great life coach for right where we are in life. How are we to faithfully run the leg of the race of life and faith that is now ours to accomplish? Number one, remember that heaven's cheering for you. Verse 1 in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, a large crowd. Now, I don't know about you if you've competed in anything, but I can tell you, as I have competed, I do a lot better when everybody's cheering for me. My personal best always came in an environment where I could hear people cheering. And if we incline our ear to eternity and we fix our gaze upon heaven, as we read the scriptures and sing the songs that we sang today, we can hear that history is cheering for us, cheering us on, giving us hope. It's a great thing to know that Peter and Moses, John and Noah, they're cheering us on. Read the list of those in chapter 11, and they did things that were difficult. Things that dealt with troubling times in life of in their life and in the life of history. And as they were faithful, they become an example to us. And I'd encourage you to imagine the reality. They're clapping for us. They're cheering for us. They're hoping and praying for us to run our leg of the race faithfully. Yeah, most of us don't do well with jeers. We don't do well with criticism. We don't do well with someone talking down to us and discounting our feelings. Ah, but this great cloud of witnesses understands where we are in history all too well. And so as they call to us, as they cheer for us and clap for us, they know just how we feel. They know how we're thinking. And they know better than us what God is up to. And they're there to remind us. We have a great lineage when it comes to our Christian faith. And so let us too leave a legacy in the way that we live, practically, faithfully. Leave a legacy for those around us and those who will come after us, those that we will hand the baton of faith off to. Number two, it's important to get rid of everything that's, well, not important, that really doesn't matter. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially sin that so easily trips us up. Well, what is a weight and what's the difference between a weight and a sin? A weight might be that you're having very difficult emotions. You're stressed, you're depressed, you're angry, you're frustrated. Those are weights. Negative emotions are weighty in our life. And yes, it's good and right for us to feel those negative emotions, but let's not stop in the middle of them. Let's keep moving forward. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us move beyond our difficult, weighty emotion. And yes, you need to wear that coat for a minute or two, maybe even a day or two, okay, perhaps even longer. But once that negative emotion has been felt, the weight of that has come upon your mind, heart, and soul. Now it's time to take off that coat and put it behind us. And look forward. You know, it's hard to run a race looking backwards. There's so many great examples of especially sprinters who looked to see whether or not they were going to finish first, who ended up finishing second because of that look. I like the idea that our side rear mirror is small and our front window is large. It's eternal. So we need to feel and then set aside or cast off those weighty negative emotions. And then there's sin. Sin's sin. Go to the Ten Commandments. Go to God's instructions and suggestions. We often know when we're sinning. It's not as though we don't know. We know we're violating something that God instructed us not to do. We know that we're saying something or forgetting to say something. Doing something or forgetting to do something that we know is an offense to God. And because in our sin, we become very self-centered usually. At least I do. We need to bring God back into the picture. And the great news of the gospel is God is not angry and wants to punish us in our sin, just the opposite. He wants to comfort us in the heavy emotion of the weights of life, and he wants to walk with us, and all he wants to do is forgive us for what we do. But for that to happen, we have to give voice to it. We have to confess it to God. Life is much easier to live, even in these circumstances, when we're not being pulled down and we're not being held back. Weights hold us back. Sin holds us down. And to release ourselves of those now free us up to run freely, forgiven, hopeful. God does have a plan and a future for us. He does want us to move forward in life despite the difficulties and the dead ends. He wants us to be successful. He has slated us for success. The third thing we need to do is we need to run the race that God has given us. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Now, it's the race that God has set before you, not everyone else, right? God loves you, and I can tell you what God's plan is for your life. No, God loves you and God has a plan for your life. It fits you perfectly. We offer a third step class, and there you understand your shape for ministry. Spiritual gift, heart, passion, abilities and talents, personality and experience. Charting those become great guides for us to run the race God has for us to race. And that's right. Don't let somebody else tell you what your race is. Don't compare your running against the running of someone else. God will put before you what he wants you to do as you incline your ear, you submit your heart to him. Knowing his word, being collegial with other Christians who know you and know God's word, they can be very wise counsel to us as we run the race that God has placed before us. And as we do, let us keep our eyes transfixed upon Jesus. And here's the point. You can't look at your problems and look at Jesus at the same time. As you look at Jesus, it lifts you out of the myopathy of your own circumstances. Let him raise your gaze. Let him free up your mind, heart, and soul. Let him energize you with endurance in the race that you're running. The faithful race that you're running. And the more we keep our eyes on Jesus, the less worried we become about our circumstances. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Perhaps you've read or even met Corrie Ten Boom, a Christian woman that survived a concentration camp, Auschwitz, during World War II. As she wrote about her experience, she wrote these words: "If we look to the world, that becomes very distressing to us. If we look within ourselves to find what we're looking for, well, that's just disappointing and depressing to us. But when we look to Christ Jesus, our Lord, we are not distressed, we're at rest." We're at rest. We're at peace. Hope makes its way onto the screen of our lives again. We hear in His Word and through the Holy Spirit that we can do it. Yes, some days it's one day at a time. One day at a time, looking at Jesus. What does Jonah say? Right? He was on the run. He was stuck, wasn't he? "When I had lost all hope, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord." We need to turn our thoughts to the Lord, our vision to the Lord. And as we look to Him, He's the good shepherd. He guides us. He walks with us. Our writer here says, "Minimize the pain, maximize the profit that difficult times bring." Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne in heaven. I don't know about you, but I've grown more in pain than I have in pleasure. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I don't like the pain. I don't like what I've personally gone through in the last week. I don't like it really at all. But out of that pain, out of that difficulty, out of that challenge, well, I've learned more about God and I've learned more about myself. Have you noticed you pray more in pain than pleasure? And I want to encourage you, Jesus is listening to every 911 prayer you send His way. He is with us in our pain. He is the one that walks with us in the valley of the shadow of death. And so we don't need to fear any evil. We need to be smart about it, but we don't need to fear it. And the reason for that is because of all that Jesus has done for us upon the cross. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Jesus, God in human form, he felt pain and disappointment, anger and loneliness, agitation and depression, just like we do. And so he has gone before us and he has done what we cannot do for ourselves. He died on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven and we can be unweighted. We can be filled with endurance and faith so that we can run the race that God has set before us. And yeah, there are those times when we just want to throw in the towel. But our writer's right. In those moments, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the champion who initiates our faith for us, who fills us with the endurance and the hope, the promise of tomorrow. Don't throw in the towel. Lean into your disappointments and the difficulties of this time. And as we do, well, God will continue to do great, miraculous, wonderful things for us and those around us. Let us pray. Jesus, you know our challenges, our difficulties, our weights, and our sins. It's easy to be discouraged after this week. But Lord, where there's discouragement, I pray you would replace that with hope. That Lord, where we feel like we just can't go on or we can't go on very well, that you would give us endurance, that you would energize us so that we can continue to run faithfully. We're thankful for the reminder to keep our eyes on you. And Lord, you're the right person to focus on because of all that you've done for us. All that you endured on the cross on our behalf, in our place. And so, Lord, thank you for that love. Thank you for enabling us to respond to the love, the eternal love that you have for us, by thanking you, by living our life in discipleship in a very intentional, purposeful way. Lord, always put before us the race that you have us in mind to run. And then through your Holy Spirit, we pray we would be faithful and diligent in doing all that you call us to do. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.